State lawmakers are back next week for a special session. The governor has called that session to deal with pensions after lawmakers left last month without a solution to the problem. Area Representative Rich Brower joins us on Illinois Edition to talk more about this topic and what could lie ahead. He's a Republican from Petersburg. Representative, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, special session, what are you predicting heading into next week when it comes to lawmakers coming back?
Well, I think we're going to maybe come in, vote on a pension bill that's been passed before and adjourn and send it over to the Senate, and they're going to vote it down.
Now, this is the plan that Mike Madigan, the House Speaker, had supported, and again, it did fail in the state Senate, sort of died a pretty dramatic death over there. For them to pass this again, what's the point of this?
Well, I think the point is there's no point. I mean, it's frustrating for us when we look at what's happening here, and I made the prediction early in the spring that we wouldn't have pension reform this year, and it looks like it's not going to happen.
Well, what's the problem there? Because even the union's getting on board with at least one of the plans, and there seems to be more of a belief out there from a lot of folks that something needs to be done. I think there's even people who work for government, and myself included. I'm in the state university retirement system. There are people out there who say, we just want to see something accomplished here so we can start planning for the future, so we know what the ground rules are going forward. Why hasn't this been able to get accomplished?
Well, my brother has always said, when something can't go on, it won't. And that's really what we have here with the pensions, but you have to look at the basic pension problem. If we paid for what pensions would cost this year, it would take $1.4 billion. When you put back the backlog, what has been borrowed, stolen, never repaid, that jumps up to $6.8 billion. So 1.4 is a liability for pensions this year, but 5.4 then is what is the backlog. Okay, and that said, where did that money go? When you look at our Medicaid program, it has gone from $7 billion to $15.5 billion in 5 years. And that's just unbelievable to me. Governor Blagojevich did away with fraud investigation. He did away with certification. He did away with the Illinois residency requirement. And he added a lot of new programs. And so then you put on top of that here a couple weeks ago, they voted to extend Medicaid to another 600,000 people out of 13 million in the state. And there's no way that we have the money to do all that.
So are you saying then that state workers and others in these retirement systems are paying for those decisions?
Yes. And basically what we're telling is people give up your benefits because the state government likes to give your money away with no fraud investigation, no certification of eligibility, and we're starting to run out, so we need your benefits.
Well, let's go back to Mike Madigan's plan. That, of course, did pass the Illinois House. You did not vote for it, though,
that's
right?
That's correct.
And I'm guessing you won't vote for it again if it comes back. But
that's
on the
correct.
Floor. Is there a plan out there that you could support that you've seen?
Well, I think Cullerton plan is better. We've had one of our reps come up with a plan that really made a lot of sense and never did get a fair hearing.
And what would that one do?
I don't have the details in front of me. Mike came up with that plan probably about maybe a year ago. And it really didn't cut the benefits, but it was really a common sense plan that moved forward. Now, if you look at our Constitution, about two paragraphs after we take the oath of office in the Constitution, we swear to uphold the pensions and won't reduce the benefits. And so to me, this is about what's in the Constitution. It's about what the law states. And by looking at some of these plans, we're going against that obligation.
What do you like about Senate President Cullerton's plan?
Well, I think it gives people a benefit. It has the broad backing of all the unions. I have a lot of retired people that call in that don't like it. There's a lot of active workers that do like it. So a lot of times what we have to do is just kind of listen to everybody, figure out what's acceptable, move forward.
And that's the plan that would give people a choice of whether they want health care or not when they retire.
Yes.
or they want the cost of living adjustments.
And what's the worst thing for a lot of people is the uncertainty. When they call up, if they knew what the plan was, what they had to budget for, what they had to look forward to, they could make those decisions. But the whole uncertainty is what's very concerning to a lot of people.
Well, you said you predicted early on that we would not see any type of pension changes, pension overhaul this year. Now we're going to be heading into an election year next year. Would you foresee it happening then if they can't get it done, if Case can't get it done this year?
I think with the election comes up, as you well aware, this thing becomes very political.
But it being political, I think I've heard from some lawmakers outside of Springfield, outside of the area here where we have a lot of state and employees, there are some people up there who maybe think that it would be a good political issue for them to say, we're going to vote for pension changes, we're saving the state money, we're reforming this system. You probably run into a lot of these people, even your own party, who feel that way, so you're probably at odds with some people in your own party on this issue.
Well, you know, once you sit down and you explain it to them, you explain where the money's going, you talk about, you know, you look at our budget this year, we had a $2 billion increase of a one-time, and bingo, that's all of a sudden we have extra spending, and that's gone now. And the next year they'll have to cut back $2 billion if we have, you know, a flat budget.
We're talking with Area Representative Rich Brower, a Republican. We're talking about the special session that's headed for Springfield next week, Governor Pat Quinn calling lawmakers back. Do you think the governor, is it the right idea to try to get lawmakers back to the table by doing it this way, by calling a special session?
I think this is absolutely the wrong way to do it. I mean, you call a special session, you don't have a plan, and then the leaders have made it known that they don't have a plan that they're both comfortable with. And so now you're calling us back to do what? I mean, it becomes a kind of a dog and pony show, and it's frustrating because it's wasteful of the taxpayers' money.
Let me move on to some other issues here, because I know you're getting a lot of contact on pensions and people who have a vested interest in this issue. But there's some other issues out there as well. Concealed carry, lawmakers were able to push through a plan before the end of the session to try to meet a federal court deadline for getting a concealed carry law in the books. You voted for that. You are in favor of that.
That was a lot better concealed carry bill than I ever dreamed possible. I've been very frustrated because, again, the Constitution, Second Amendment, tells what we can and can't do. And we've always had this idea that concealed carry is dangerous. But you look at every state that has enacted concealed carry, the crime rate has gone down drastically. And now you have Chicago that has the worst crime rate in the country. They have some of the most restrictive gun laws in the country. And you think that they would maybe want to try something different after a while.
Well, Tom Dart, who is a former lawmaker, state lawmaker, he is now the Cook County Sheriff. He came out this week and said that the plan that is sitting now on the governor's desk, we don't know what the governor might do with this legislation, said that he felt that it was inadequate to protect from people who should not have guns, and it did not give law enforcement enough tools to deny people the right to carry concealed weapons. Your thoughts on that?
Well, and you look at the Detroit City Police Chief, and he told everybody to get a gun because they couldn't protect them. So, you know, I mean, it's just basically two different cities and two different point of views, and a lot of times the response time, however close you are to a police station, certainly won't be quick enough to protect your family in your own home.
Did you hear from any local law enforcement on this issue to say, hey, don't vote for this, or this isn't a good idea, or were most of the local law enforcement in favor?
I think they were mainly in favor. I mean, when you look at this bill is for law-abiding citizens, and it's the criminals that really don't care. So we're actually letting our law-abiding citizens to go out and operate legally. And it's the people that operate illegally are the ones that we're concerned about.
We'll move on to another topic here, same-sex marriage. This did not get called for a House floor vote, and you did not get a chance to vote one way or the other on this measure. Would you support that idea if it came up for a vote?
No, I wouldn't. I think that the definition of marriage is between a man and a woman, and I hold that sacred. And so for me, that you can't change a definition.
And have you been lobbied on that
issue? Oh, sure, both ways. I mean, it's that's probably just as emotional as the conceal and carry, because when you have something somebody really cares about, it gets very emotional very quickly.
I know there were some people who felt like this issue, you know, concealed carry, we could go down the list. There were several others as well, medical marijuana, very controversial issues, and of course pensions. Some got dealt with, some did not. That some people felt that it was almost too much of a full agenda for lawmakers, that the legislature does not move in big steps. A lot of times it moves very incrementally, and having too much on the plate at one time can sink some of these other issues. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that's true. I mean, people get frustrated because they say, you know, the budget's the most important thing, and that's what I've said. The three most important issues this year is the budget, the budget, the budget. And here we go with a lot of other very emotional issues, well, it just takes the focus off of what we should be working on.
Well, you mentioned the budget. Before you get away here, I wanted to ask you about that, because lawmakers approving a budget this year that had more spending in it, and the way that was done, the way that was characterized to be able to do that, was the fact that there was this one-time bump in revenue caused by a tax change, but it won't be there next year. So there was, I know a lot of people saying we should not spend all this money, we should pay down what we owe a big backlog of bills. I bet you hear from a lot of vendors who are owed money by the state who would like to get their payments in more quick time. So how is that possible to pass a budget that's what, $2 billion more in spending this year when you have this big backlog of bills sitting there?
Well, that's very frustrating. I mean, the last couple of years, we've been able to work with the Democrats trying to, you know, come to agreement where we should cut, where we shouldn't. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks with session to go, they say, don't bother showing up at these meetings. You're done with the discussions. We're going to decide. And then they add the $2 billion to it. So it was a very frustrating budget year. Certainly for the minority, and that's why it's important to get a balance back in the state government. Whether it's all Democrats or all Republicans, whether it's federal or their state, you have to have that balance in there so you can have some conversation, you can have some compromises, and you can come up with a lot better bills in the end.
Now, there was some school spending in there that the governor had actually called for some cuts, that some of that is being restored, at least in this budget that was sent to his desk. He, again, has not acted on that yet. But some schools in your district will definitely benefit from that. So in some ways, that's positive news probably for you. And when you go talk to these educators and people who run the schools, that they're not going to be cut maybe the way they had feared.
Well, I think there are several important things that the state takes care of. You know, we take care of citizens that can't take care of themselves. We don't take care of citizens that don't want to take care of themselves. But education is very high on our priority as far as our responsibility. And to take young people and, you know, you can't always throw money at a problem and solve it, but you have to sit down and you have to have the resources there so they can excel.
And for those that just tuned in, I'm going to let you kind of go back on one issue here again. Next week, special session on pensions, and your prediction of what's going to happen there.
Nothing. I mean, that's about as simple a plan as I can make it. I think that we come into town. We maybe vote on a bill or two, and then we adjourn and go home.
Well, we'll find out if you're right then, I guess, when next week comes. That is Representative Rich Brower, Republican from Petersburg, joining us today on Illinois Edition. Representative, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.